Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, we are here in Joliet, Illinois, live with Dr. Paula Price. Dr. Price, welcome to your show. How are you doing today?
I am fine after a very, very long plane ride, and it wasn't long, but it seemed long. You know, Ashley, I'll tell you what, if you ever want to work out, just travel a lot, because I'm telling you, going from gate to gate, oh my gosh, I felt like I walked a mile last night. It was great, but it was also strenuous. But I'm glad to be in Joliet. How about you guys? Because you guys were, what, y'all rode in?
Yeah, we drove in from Tulsa. It was a pretty smooth drive. We just hit, you know, the typical construction patches, a sprinkle of rain here or there, but probably the smoothest drive we've had yet.
Well, you know how we love to be in Joliet, because this is where our other family is. You know, people were asking me about it, and I said, oh, no, we're going home to the fam, because, you know, this is our other church, and, you know, we always say we're one church, two locations, and so I am glad to be here. We had a chance to visit with our apostle last night, Apostle Nona Parker, who's doing the Chicagoland Summit starting tonight with the banquet. So listen, I'm talking tonight. We get a chance to look good, eat good, and then after that, we're going to listen to Jesus Christ and walk away feeling good. If you haven't made any connections, you want to make a connection, then you need to do it. Now, I don't know if they have food for you, but you can always ask if you buy a ticket, can you bring a brown bag or something? I don't know. But I have something to say this evening. I'm doing the State of the Kingdom address, and it's going to be wonderful, folks. So, heck, it's still time. And then we have the rest of the week where we're doing a wonderful lineup on apostolic and prophetic training and development. We're also addressing the fivefold in various ways. This is the time. I'm here. I'm looking forward to meeting you. I've been on the radio in this area earlier this year, so I know I gathered a bunch of new friends. Well, I'd like to meet you. So go to your website, get the information, and join me here in Joliet for the Chicagoland Summit at Antioch Christian Assembly, where Apostle Nona Parker, my beloved daughter in the Lord, is the founder and pastor. So, Ashley, was that good? Did I do that well?
Excellent. Yes, you did. And people can also contact the ministry, 815-727-0122. We're going to give that number out again to get that information where you can call. It's not too late to register.
It isn't too late. And I'll tell you, Ashley, it's so good that you have that number in your head. And, you know, you have been my assistant for, 13 years, almost 14 years. I think I finally broke you in. You have the numbers right at the top of your head. I'm impressed.
Thank God for Facebook. That's all I have to say.
You know, and it's the truth. Social media is a blessing. You know, we take our help when we can get it.
Click away.
Well, but again, folks, join me here. I'd like to meet with you. I'd like to visit and just kind of shake hands and nod at you a little bit to say, hey, thank you for connecting. I like doing Thursdays. Thursdays are an amazing time for me. I look forward to it all the time because it gives me an opportunity to do something that I want and have wanted to do for a long time, and that is to minister to the people of God outside of the pulpit. You know, you stand up in the pulpit, and God, you know, if you're doing apostolic prophetic teaching, meaning you're under that unction, you know, we say a lot of things, and it sprays out, and we hope we can, you know, we hope we hit it, hope it lands. That's our intent. But there's nothing like doing this, Ashley, where I get to talk to people, I get to hear your issues, pray with you, and know that I am giving an answer that's specific to the caller, but yet still applicable to my listeners, and it's issues-based. You know, sermons are great, but they don't always give you that opportunity to dig into the issues. Now, I say that to you because our culture has created issues that just did not exist even 25, 50 years ago. You know, when you look at the deterioration of our culture, I call it the blackening of culture, because our culture is being blackened by darkness. It's being blackened by the death thing, the occult, the witchcraft, the crime, the immorality. We are literally experiencing the blackening of American culture and consciousness, so that we don't even know what the problems are any longer. A lot of people are dealing with the fallout of these various trends and these popular shows or habits or whatever we want to call them, that we're dealing with the fallout from. You don't realize that even though it might be scintillating to your flesh, and it might feel good, it feels different. I mean, after all, because the big deal is to be different from religion. We're going to address that in just about a moment. It might feel good, but that, you know, the infection is still the infection. You can have a great meal that the flavor is amazing. I mean, it tastes good. It's got all of the proper balances of taste, salt, and sweet, and all of that. Yes, great meal, and not know that it's infected. You know, things that are going to poison you don't always announce themselves, and sometimes it's masked. You can have an infection in there or some sort of a bacteria. You don't even know it's there, and it's masked, but yet it's there, and you've had a wonderful time. That's going to cost you your health and well-being, and in some cases, your life, and you never knew you were at risk. You never knew that you were digesting a threat. And that's how it is when you deal with these dark societies like this. They're fun. You know, they dress you up, and the people just look so great. You don't realize that there's abuse happening right in front of you, and you are psychologically or recreationally endorsing it. You don't even know you're endorsing the abuses that we see that are, you know, in these shows. You don't know that. In your mind, it's like, well, you know, that's art. I'll deal with that on another call, because that's just a whole other site that I, you know, you almost have to commend them for coming up with such a high seduction, such an effective deception. But anyway, I'm speaking to you today because discerning hidden threats and hidden dangers is not just a panic button that just won't be control. It's really an instinct, because it requires having a perception that goes to the long view of the situation. When we think about the things that we endorsed 25 years ago, or that we indulged, because sometimes we didn't endorse them. You know, we knew that that wasn't God, that wasn't going to work for our good, not even humanity's good, but we indulged them. When we think about them 25 years ago, and today they are culture. That's because way back then, the long view was hidden from us, and all we were concerned with was our liberties. And I always ask people when they give me that kind of liberty talk, I always say, well, why is it that liberty equates to laxity? And why does adult entertainment equate to perversion? So I can't understand that, because that it's almost like, perverse sexuality and indiscriminate morality are hallmarks of adulthood. And I know it's not, but we treat it like that. And you know why? Because we are caught up in that beautiful meal on that beautiful banquet table that is full of bacteria that we can't see, that's carrying all kinds of airborne viruses that we can't recognize. And we won't know that that was not a healthy dish for us for hours, sometimes days, and in some cases, weeks later. I've traveled overseas a lot, and for a period there, every time I came back, I had a bug. I didn't even know why. Brought back a bacteria, didn't show up right away, had no effects whatsoever. A month later, 2 months later, that thing is working in my body. Well, guess what? A lot of this stuff, folks, is working in your soul, and you don't know it. And you don't know it because you don't know how the planners, the inventors, the innovators of these things strategized and literally calculated, deliberately calculated on how to destroy the human psyche, the human soul. That is a masterful ability. Soul destroyers are very good at what they do. And they're good because they have to achieve their agenda too. And sometimes you need to recognize there are things that may not hurt your sensibilities, but that doesn't make them any less damnable and damaging to your soul. And so where we are today is that in this blackening of culture, you're going to have to think about what are you doing for the health of your soul. Your soul health is your responsibility, just like your body health is your responsibility. Your spiritual health is your responsibility. And when it's all said and done, the hallmark of true maturity, you know, because God doesn't deal, he didn't use the word adult for a reason. Probably because I always wonder why. Now, this is me. So, guys, if you're going to get upset, just get upset with me. I'm free thinking, okay? But I always wonder, why is adult, you know, A-D-U-L-T, five letters before adultery? Why is that? I always wondered about that. How do we come up with adult, and how come that suffix, E-R-Y, is not put next to that? I always wonder, but that's me. This is, I mean, it's not even, you know, this is me just doing my free thoughts. I do that every now and again. But in Scripture, God calls it mature. He thinks mature is a better word, probably because it doesn't lend itself to the deception of dropping the E-R-Y off the end of it. Now, that's a, that goes way back. Now, I'm going to say this because as I've been developing things and talking about soul health today, talking about the blackening of culture, okay, as I was studying, because you all know me well enough to know I've researched everything, I realized that a lot of the things that have made cultural trend, beginning with language, had to do with obsoleting language of righteousness and godliness. We obsolete that. You know, we obsoleted the wholesome language of society, and we began to flip language. We flipped language, folks, and we flipped it because it was it fit an agenda to get us sick of God and sick of Christ and to dethrone Christianity. That's the whole thing. If you think it's anything else, you are sorely deluded. Let me give you a wake-up call. All of culture is about dethroning Christianity and dethroning the Church of Jesus Christ. Even our latest move of right now hyphenating Christianity with other faiths and other religions, well, that's no more than a simple tactic called if you can't beat them, then confuse them. So if we confuse them, confuse, that means interfuse. See, we used to think confused just meant mixed up and crazy. When you look up confused, it means intermixed with something else. So let's just confuse the issue. If we can't beat them, confuse them. So then we have Christians thinking you're no big deal, and we have other religions saying you can do it too. And so we mix that together, and we've got a default plan, a plan two tactic, if you will, to dethrone Christianity. And a lot of saints don't know it. We spent a lot of time over the last several years, my brothers and sisters who are listening to me today, we spent a great amount of time, believe it or not, telling you being saved was no big deal. You're no different than anyone else. You're no better than anyone else. We just poor, lousy sinners saved by grace. We just little garbage pickings that God picked up off the side of the road. We're just lousy little wretches. Why be better? Because you're never going to make better. You know, you're a Christian. You're born to an idea or worshiping an ideal that can never happen. We spent a lot of time making you take off the excellence of Christ that the Spirit of God put on you. We spent a lot of time making you want to slum in your salvation. We did that. Leaders did it. We all have books like that. We've got songs like that. I'm only human. If I'm only human, why are you expecting me to be better? All humans are not this. So I might as well work hard at being like the best of the humanity I can be, but not too different from the worst. My prophets and I, we always have a conversation when people say to us as Christians, you know, well, do you do this and why don't you do that and whatever? And folks say, well, you know, our answer to Christianity is at least I'm not. Our goal for Christianity is to be among the best of the least and to forego being the best of the best. Because, wait, if we are truly what Jesus made us, we are a formidable force to deal with. We are an indomitable people. If we really believe what the Holy Spirit did to us, what God gave us, if we really believe the garments that we wear, that God put on us clothed in his righteousness, you know? And so we have a long way to go to bring ourselves back up out of this pit. But it begins with knowing how excellent a work God did in us and how great a being God made us. God made us, his church, his sons and daughters, this royal priesthood, this holy nation, you know, this new generation. God made us something that never existed before. Now, he made it in a pot that was old, probably cruddy, you know, needing a lot of scrubbing, you know, but still made it nonetheless. And you sometimes you can get some great, great, great meals out of a good old beat up pot. And some of us are that good old beat up pot that God made a great meal in, a great mix in, a good product that, guess what, it's still more than priceless to him. We are priceless, and we do not have to take our cues from darkness, and we do not have to take our definitions from sin and death. We don't have to buy into the you are no better than us routine. We could buy into the model that we have and allow ourselves to be changed from glory to glory and faith to faith. We could. Pull out our lights out of our bottom drawers and out of our closets and start shedding that beam in the blackness that's all around us, because you can't get away from it. We have no idea. When you think about how many horror movies, how many grisly movies, how much blood is spilled on television, how many lives are taken, all of those are prophetic gestures that are crafting a culture that you don't want to live with. Now, you may not have to experience it, but trust me on this word. Your children will, because we're living the culture that was crafted for us. What was entertainment to them is now culture to us. Remember that. The people who break ranks with righteousness are not the people who bear the brunt of it. It's those they leave behind. The people who came up with the ideologies that we are now calling today culture, those people are dead. Every law that's going in effect today will hardly affect this generation. That law is for the future, and it's force a future culture. It's literally culture crafting of the future to force it on you. So today we're blackening so that why? That generation that has to move in utter darkness will already have the climate and the environment prepared for it. Now, I know that this is something we don't like to talk, but since I'm here in Illinois, I figure why not go for it? The blackening of culture. A lot of the consequences of the laws that we have today will not affect you that directly, especially if you're over 45, 50 years old. You know, if they're not going to affect you, and if it does affect you, you're going to be too old to do anything about it. But here's what happens. You have assented to a destiny of the future. And the generation that's coming in the future, we today have crafted the destiny that we want them to have. Now, today is our liberty, but trust me, when I tell you this word, today's liberty is tomorrow's captivity. So your contemporary liberties are going to be your children and your grandchildren's captivity. And you have to make sure that you want them to live the fullness of this life without the tempering force that you have today. Because, see, today there's a little bit of light left. But by the time this blackening is done, there'll be no light. And your children won't have a choice. They won't. Today is liberty to you, whether or not you want to wait until you have sex when you're married, whether or not you want to tell the truth or live a lie, whether or not you want to vote on this and vote on that. Today you are making a choice because options are still there for you. But down the line, your children don't get a choice. Just like we don't get a choice today on the things that our parents had the liberty to opt in on and opt out of. And that's what I would love for you to think today, because thinking wise is looking down the line. Thinking smart may be outwitting something that's happening today. So smart, okay, I'm going to outwit you. So I'm smart enough to outwit you today. But are you wise enough to anticipate your effects and the consequences tomorrow? And that's the difference between smart and wise. So sometimes, you know, you might be able to outsmart a situation. You know, I'm going to do what I want because I'm smart enough to do it. But it's like you, when you were a kid, all of those things you thought you were smart enough to do, wisdom taught you, that wasn't smart. It certainly was unwise. And so as we go into today, and I just wanted to share that, because we have to recognize I'm here telling you, I'm not making a judgment call because nobody can but the Lord. I'm telling you that God, it was so smart in his creation that he literally encoded in human consciousness and genetics morality and immorality. We don't even think like that, but he did. He did. He built it in. You know, when I think about even sexual morality, we always say, well, that's no big deal. Oh, yes, it is. If there was no genetic coding on promiscuous sex, we wouldn't have sexually transmitted diseases. We wouldn't have diseases. Obviously, this is not about religion. This is literally about the wholesomeness of and the survival of a culture. And I would say to those of you today who don't recognize it, today is your liberty. But are you casting a vote for your child's, your grandchild's captivity? Because they don't. The minute we make something law, it ceases to be liberty. And it passes down the line, not as liberty. It passes down the line as captivity, as future bondage. And we've done a lot of laws that we thought were fun because they liberated us. But they're going to enslave the kids that are growing up now and those that are being born. So every time you make a vote for your present liberty, make sure that it is not dooming your kids to captivity. I always say that about when we look at a lot of the trends. We started out talking about the blackening of culture. I say that a lot when I look at a lot of the celebrities and the stars, these movie stars and actors that depict this stuff. You know, their kids don't live with the consequences of that stuff. Their kids are guarded. Their kids are in compounds. Their kids have guards. Their kids go to high-level schools. Their schools are in such a strata, nobody can get up in there. And yet they sell this stuff to your child who doesn't have a guard. Your kid is going to go to the school around the corner. Your daughter is going to be raped in school. Your son is going to be beat up on a block. See, they sold the entertainment because it was their liberty. But it became your kid's captivity. And maybe we need to think more like the royal priesthood we are than the slaves of sin that they're trying to make us. But we are a royal priesthood. And the word royal doesn't just mean, you know, pageantry, you know, celebrated. It means ruling. When you look up the word royal, it means ruling. And of all the priests on the planet, Jesus Christ died, shed his blood to give himself a body of priests that was different and untainted by every other bloody, gory, grisly priesthood that existed at the time. We are a royal priesthood, which means we are the ministers of righteousness that should reign, should rule, that should set policy, set precedent, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and down the line we go. That is what we should be. But instead, we've abdicated because we did not understand our identity. And whenever you lose touch with your identity, you sabotage your destiny because it's your identity that determines whether or not you fulfill destiny. And so as we go into today, I just felt like today I want to teach you, wanted to share this, just an admonishment, because sometimes you need somebody to let you know what's going on. Many people are saying, this is crazy. What is happening to us? My goodness, I can't figure this out. I'm telling you, as one who has sat and looked and observed this thing from the mind of the Creator, this is not about a religion so much as it's about the Creator, the maker of it. God made this thing, and he created us for a purpose, for a life, for a culture, for a kingdom. And we have done something different with it. You know, Ecclesiastes said God has made man upright, but he has invented many schemes. God made us upright, and he has invented many schemes. And so we did. We invented schemes that would that go against the uprightness that the Creator had in mind for us. But, you know, when you can talk about religion, you can talk about faith, you can talk about liberty, but the dooming of a society, the dooming of a nation, it's a formula. It's a fixed formula. It doesn't change. You can go back in time, those of you who are historians, and look at it, and you can see the trend all the way, and it's always a trend that begins with the blackening of its culture, because what you blacken, you blind. And so once you get that culture to the point that it's blinded and it's so introspective that it's all about its own liberty and its individuality, you have won. You take a castle from the inside out. That means your family line, all of that. Jesus said, how can a man, how can you destroy a strong man's palace unless you first bind the strong man? Now, we said house in one translation, but Luke says palace for a reason. And some of us, your family lines have been infiltrated, your faith, your home, your house, your psyche, your soul. But the health of your soul is your responsibility. And that's not just about faith. That's not just about religion. Because destruction has no religion. Destruction has no religion. Destruction has indomitable faith that it's going to work. And it knows that it only needs the drop of a virus or a bacteria to take down a whole thing. Because that thing is going to multiply. And God wants you to think today. Now, I don't know who you are. I didn't even plan this, to be honest with you. But whoever you are, you wanted answers. God said, I'll give you answers. Now let's see what we do with them. Is your liberty the next generation's captivity? You should ask yourself that. When you cast your votes from now on, you shouldn't be comfortable with just saying, this is how I feel. Because you are going to live 70 years and you're out. And in the 70 years or 20, depending on how healthy our society gets, which is not very healthy considering that the generation behind us is struggling. Now, so think about that. So when you hit 65, 70 years old and you're out of the workplace, or when you hit 80 years old and you're, you know, whatever the diseases are, the prevailing sicknesses are of the day, are you casting a vote? Because what you do when you're young and strong does not die when you get old. It's, you live with that. And think about that. Think about the entertainment that we love. Today it's entertainment. But for them, it's going to be enslavement. And you have to ask yourself, we all are responsible for the future. Because even though you say, well, I don't care about somebody else's kids, but that's, if you're saying that, that's because you're probably still under 60. Because when you get older, you lose your strength. You can't fight that. You are a victim of your own youth. Every one of us, at the age we are today, you're a victim of your own youth. You have to ask yourself, how do you want your older years to be? I've said to you before, those stars that are acting out that thing, shooting people, all of the car, all of the mayhem you see on the screen, their families don't live, their kids especially don't live there, but yours do. They don't have, you don't roll up in those rich houses and do a drive-by. That's not what you do, but they do it in your neighborhood. But you help them vote for it because you bought it. Now we have to decide how we want to wrap this up, because that's the day that God is looking for. His thing is, I can fix it if you want. And this is what he said to me. I can fix it. But why do I want to get involved to force something on you don't want? You're only going to keep undoing what I do. So God is real smart. He's not going to fix anything you're not ready to keep, because he's not going to be a slave to his creatures. So if you, even in your life, moving forward in our show today, even in your life, why won't God fix this? Why won't God heal? Why won't he turn this off? Why won't he get me out of this? Why won't he intervene? God can fix anything you need. He can fix it in a day, week, hour, second, nanosecond. It is not God that's the problem. The problem is God is not going to continually come back. He's not going to be the custodian of your deliverance. You have to be the custodian of your deliverance. When he delivers you, you must maintain it. When he sets you free, you must keep your freedom. When he provides something for you, you must take care of it. And see, when he supplies something, you must keep it going. He's not going to deliver and keep you delivered if you don't want to be, because the whole essence of Christianity, which is why people are so free to do crazy things, is that it's be it unto you according to your faith, let it be according to what you will. So if your will is not adapted to the deliverance you're praying for, then we need to get your will transformed. And your will is tied to your wants. So if we can't get that heart want that you may not even know about, you may forget you started out on, but we can't get that heart want to flip to a will of deliverance, a will of liberty, then you're going to stay in captivity. And God's got to let you, because he's not going to override your will. Not like that. Now, let me tell you, people talk about why God won't override. He's God. He can override your will, but then he'll have to do it every day, and eventually he's going to have to kill you because he's stronger than you. So rather than have that battle, God said, why don't we work it out and we'll just sort it all out on the other side. So there are a lot of things you wish God had intervened in, but it was going to be useless for him to do it because the people didn't want it. Even you all, my son should be free right now, but does your son want to be free? So today, I'm going to go into our show. Ashley, in just a couple of minutes, but I want to leave you with this thought. Today was the pragmatism of a healthy soul. The pragmatisms of a healthy soul. There are certain pragmatics, certain practical habits and attitudes and beliefs and conduct and values that guarantee your soul is healthy and protected, or that is unhealthy and vulnerable. And sometimes we have to make that decision. It still comes down to your will. So while we're in this constant blackening of the culture, we have to remind ourselves that our liberty is but for a moment. But if you don't maintain your liberty with the view to the future, it becomes your children's and your children's children's captivity. So, yeah, that was a sobering word, but I promise you we're going to have a great call today. But God wanted to give that word. So, Ashley, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you still breathing, girl?
Huh?
Are you still breathing?
Oh, I'm breathing. Shallow breath, but I'm breathing. You said some stuff here today that I know I need to go back and think about for my own life.
But isn't it true about the blackening of our culture?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's that Hezekiah syndrome. As long as everything is great for me, forget everybody else. They'll have to deal with it once I'm gone. And we have a responsibility to those who are coming up, you know, Hezekiah syndrome.
You know what? That's really true. Tell them about Hezekiah. Do you remember that? Obviously, you brought it up for a reason.
Well, when Hezekiah, he had kickstarted all this mess, and whenever his life was on the line and he was begging God for an extension, it wasn't for pure motive. And it was, hey, as long as everything is good in my day, everybody else can deal with this mess after I'm gone. And that's kind of the mentality that we have because it's so easy to do that as long as I'm comfortable, God's judgment, I'll just postpone the judgment and not really try and appease the Lord to see what we can do to avoid it. So,
and not taking responsibility for the future of the kingdom that he was entrusted with. Hezekiah opened up the kingdom. He took the Babylonians into all of the kingdom's treasures and storehouses. He showed them the secret weapons, the red button, and all of that. He let them know what the weapons looked like, what the treasury looked like, and because he was showing off on what he did. He said, hey, guys, come take a look. This is how great we are. And so, he set the stage for a future takeover. And sometimes when you expose too much of your stuff, you set the stage for a future takeover. And so he did that, and then they turned around, and he just kind of, you know, he got sick over time through several other events, and he got sick, and so he, you know, the prophet said, get ready, you out. And so he interceded. So, and often today, as the traditional teaching is that, well, you know, God had mercy on him and got 15 more years. God did, but God gave him 15 more years to a man who said, God said, listen, I'm going to extend your life, but everything that I prophesied through this prophet is going to happen to your son and your son's son. And he said, well, at least there'll be peace in my days. He did not care about the future generation. That's why I think, Ashley, you bringing that up is amazing. Because he didn't care about, he said, at least there'll be peace in my time. And is that not choosing liberty, present liberty, and future captivity? He didn't care for those people. He didn't take responsibility for being who he is or what he sold in his society. But it's going to happen. So I just thought, yeah, that was a great, look at you. You're trying to act like you read a piece of Bible or something.
You know, sometimes I get in that book.
Act like you read a piece of scripture or three. Got to never be calling names right.
My quarterly review.
I love it. Well, we have a great show today, I'm sure, Ashley, and I know you have some people lined up. Again, I'm here in Chicagoland. I'm in Joliet. I'm going to be for the next several days at the Chicagoland Apostolic Summit here in Joliet at Antioch Christian Assembly, and I really want to invite you to come out. It's a great time, and we're going to have a great time. I'm going to do a lot of teaching on apostleship and a ton of other subjects. Tonight, I'm doing the State of the Kingdom. And I want you all to come and hear about the state of the kingdom, because, you know, God's got a little something to say. And he really does have a little something to say. So, Ashley, do you have any more comments before we find out who we'll have on the phone?
No comments, just callers.
I'm ready.
Okay. First up on line is Sharon. And guess what, Dr. Price? She is in the Chicagoland area. She was so excited to hear you're going to be here. You are here, excuse me. We're finally here. I've been speaking about this in future tense for so long. We're here. And she's excited that you're here, but this is Sharon calling you from Chicago. And she is 60 years old and has found herself out of work and needs to know what is the next step. So, Sharon, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you.
Hello, Sharon. How are you doing, other than shocked?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Well, actually, it has to do with some arthritic pain, so my mobility is different. I am a registered nurse and able to do the job, but people perceived that I could not do the job. So, therefore, it was taken away. It was easy to do because I am a temporary employee. However, it's the fruit of years of being where I'm not supposed to be anyway. Over 20 years ago, the Lord let me know that the work that I did was not what I was supposed to continue to do. And he said to me, you say, this is what I do. This is what I always do. And the word was, God's vision for you is not middle level. It's excellency, superiority, and authority. But I never did any, made any efforts to change what I did in my work. So I know why I got here. I just need some insight into how to get out of here.
Well, what other things, what other skills do you have? I mean, obviously it's God spoke that he had a vision, and his vision was what profession?
Well, see, I don't like to admit too many things, but I've been told about ministry calling for years upon years upon years. And when I say years upon years, I mean since the 80s. But, of course, I've not moved in that direction. Now, I have to admit, I know you know about Crusaders Church, Apostle Eckhart. You know I've been a member there for years. Never, ever made any efforts to go to the nations, do anything. I was on the prophetic team, but I never really did anything that I could have done to move toward any kind of ministry call, to be honest with you. So I know, again, I know how I got here. I need to know how to get out of here.
Well, you already said you have a church that's already doing that. Why can't you go and start where you start? Join up, find a ministry, a missions team that you want to go to. I would, however, deal with that arthritis because, you know, now I'm trying to go to the mission with the bones and joints cutting up. It's not going to be the same thing. You know that. So I would,
right,
that would be part of doing that. You know, if that's not it, then you need to go to school. I hear the Holy Ghost saying you need to go to school and get enough training. Because even
you
if you're
school and training,
trade, a new trade. You know, a lot of people today are going and getting that second career. 60 is not all today.
Right.
60 is like, you know, hey, we still got a lot of good years left. So the first thing you want to do is bring that arthritis under control, and there are so many holistic things that you can do that are just amazing. I mean, I struggle with some things myself, and I've gotten myself quite a, you know, quite a platform, a program of things to make it quite manageable. That's number one. So you do need to be in school. Now, if it's school, if you're a church, that's fine. But God needs you to want to train, and you don't want to go through a whole other training, because if you're like most people, I've done this, I'm at this point that I'm not really excited about starting all over again, you know, and starting something new and starting from scratch. But I want to say this, because I hear, and Sharon, you just happen to be the person I'm on the phone with today, but it doesn't make a difference. I've heard these kinds of things over and over again. People, folk, saints of the Most High God, ministry is not a lateral move. You don't just say, well, I'm finally wake up. Well, I'll just give my later years to God. Well, I'm just now I'm ready. You, first of all, you're going to have to repent for blowing this man off all of these years. That's a lot of blowing off. From the 80s, that's a long time that I ain't going to do it. And now, again, goes back to now we're up in age. We don't have the same strength that we had and the visions that he had for us, because we assumed that God's vision was going to impoverish us or somehow handicap our lives. But I want to say to everybody on the line today, ministry is not a lateral move. We all think because we've done something great for God in a secular environment that it automatically translates just as effectively and just as competently in his world, and it doesn't. There are a lot of things that you've learned in that world that are contrary to God. We just got through talking about a culture that is completely antagonistic to the righteousness of God and the truth of God. So, don't think that. You're going to have to train for that. And not only train, you're going to have to start at the bottom. You know, I don't care if you start as the head of an organization. Your spiritual and your ecclesial adaptations to the kingdom of Christ are going to start at ground zero. Because you don't know the things he deals with. You don't know the things that we've learned being in this thing on the ground and in the thick of it all these years. There are certain spiritual and psychological knowledges and developments and instincts you've got to get. And so the first thing I would tell you is that you're going to need training. And if that's your church, then you should go and sign up for some training. But understand, you cannot go there from the peak of what you left. You have to go there to where they need you.
Yes, ma'am. Now, I'd like to add this. Can you still hear me talking?
I can.
Okay, well, I also, something I missed, when I was in my early 20s, I was supposed to go to law school. I still have a desire to go to law school, but the time that I was supposed to go was when I was in my early 20s.
Yeah, so you go now.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
Let me tell you, that's why I said I think you're supposed to get another trade. Here's what I want to tell you. So you knocked off two destinies. I hope everybody is listening to what it means that God is faithful, you know, because we can tend to feel bad about how things turn out, and then we have one or two honest souls like you, Sharon. I want to hurt you just because you're so honest. But anyway, we have one or two honest souls like you that say, yeah, but God was talking to me all along, and I blew him off. I set it aside. I wasn't ready. My family wasn't ready. But God is faithful. And I tell everybody when they're going through, God is faithful. He is not a derelict leader. And so he's very diligent in his responsibilities toward us and his duties. I would say to you that today they're encouraging a senior people to go to school. You still, even if you finish in 6 years or 5 years or however long it takes, you still got 15 years of good, productive life that you can offer to society. And there is nothing wrong with that. You're probably smarter. It may not be as difficult. You know, you have a lot of, you know, life knowledge and life experience that would help you grasp those teachings. But that's something to think about. I mean, if you feel like that, maybe if you don't think it's law school, it might be just paralegal. Let's not take the whole banana. Let's bite off some. You know, start there and see where you can go. But I would think that, especially with your condition, that's an education that you can use whether or not you're on your feet or on your back. Your brain is your brain. And as long as you can think and speak, you can pretty much do something with that trade. There is nothing wrong with that.
Thank you.
You are very welcome. So listen, I appreciate you. You're not giving up hope. You know, and that's the thing that God wants. As long as there's a daybreak, there's a reason to hope. Because a day brings a new possibility and new opportunities. So I want to pray with you. I think that your call has been very exciting to me, Sharon, and very inspiring to hear that there are folk who know God is righteous. We're going to count God faithful. We're going to count God just. He did his job. Now, I didn't respond. He kept up his end of the bargain, but I didn't do it. And I pray that the body of Christ can come to that revelation of truth, because God just says in his word, just acknowledge. That's all he wants you to do. He doesn't want you groveling, eating dirt, and, you know, feeling bad for everyone. I mean, just acknowledge that we were at odds for a lot of years. Acknowledge that I did my part, that I did not neglect you. That's all he wants. Now watch, God's going to move in your life. Trust me on this word. He's going to move in your life because you're faithful. Watch my word. He's going to do it. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' omnipotent name, I thank you for Sharon. God, I thank you that you have raised up a vessel of honesty, a vessel who is interested in getting it right. I'm asking you now, Lord, to show forth your mercy and your forgiveness, God, and begin to open up the way and literally take her by the hand, God, and guide her down the path and the journey that you have for her. Lord, plan A is over, that window's shut. Plan B may not even be as welcoming to us, but God, you are the God of all hope. And I thank you that her hope is not in vain, because she has put her hope in the living God. So, Jesus, I thank you for taking over, making a way out of no way, guiding her steps, opening doors, making connections, and Lord, even putting favor on the hearts of those that you've assigned to help this woman live out the rest of her days. I'm asking you to bless her to do it, God. I'm thanking you for healing in that body. Give her the arthritic remedies and therapies that work for her. And I thank you for doing it all, Father, healing her every step of the way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hope to talk
yes,
soon.
Ma'am. Thank
God
you.
God bless. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Prophet?
Apostle?
Are you ready with another call?
I am. We have actually back on the line Bridget, your wonderful daughter in the Lord who has been blessing our lives with some wonderful things here. She is on the line today. Bridget, welcome to the show.
Amen.
Bridget, I'm glad you called me because, you know, I was getting ready to Facebook you to let you know that I appreciate your treasures. You've been so kind to me, and I thank God for you. And I'm having a blast with them, by the way, you know, just for the record.
Amen.
I'm having a blast. But I wanted you to know I'm excited. I've just been running and bit. Well, you know what my life is like. But please, daughter, know that I'm very grateful, and I thank God for you. So how can I bless you today?
Amen. You're welcome. I'm needing prayer. My family is, we're just actually about five of them. It's 10 of us, and five of them just received a family settlement. And we have a few of them, and we actually been waiting 8 years for this settlement. It came from my father because he was a farmer. He was discriminated against in the 80s. And we found out a couple years ago that the last five was not, you know, going to get anything, but the older ones would have to share. So now that the checks are surfing and they're up, and few of them have them in their accounts. Some of them are stating that it's my mind. It came in my name, and I'm going to keep it. So I'm praying that our family, you know, because we've been taught to be very close. Don't let money separate your family and all that. But I'm going to need you to pray for, you know, that there be no conflict. No separation in whatever decision that they choose to make. Amen.
Amen. Well, then I'm going to pray for that, and I'm going to pray that the values are still on family and that God speaks through the hearts of those that will listen and really cause them to be saved. Sometimes people are just overwhelmed by the moment, and then when they get time to think about it, they kind of say, yeah, but what am I really doing here? You know, what am I really trying to do? So I'm going to do that, and I'm also going to pray that that even those who didn't get it don't allow themselves to be caught up in bitterness on this, because this is one of those situations that it can go either way. You and I both know that.
Mm-hmm.
That it can go either way. Father, thank you so much for Bridget. First of all, God, I just thank you for her life. I thank you, Lord, for her generosity, her giving. She's a big-hearted woman. And, Lord, I just thank you for her. I thank you for her family right now, Lord, all 10 of them. And you know, that her prayer for her siblings, God, is that they value what is true, that they don't lose perspective on what's truly worthwhile in life. God, I'm asking you that if it is your will, and I know that it is, that your will, that they all honor their word. I'm asking, God, that you cause them to honor their word and honor their responsibility to their siblings, God, to their young ones. And I'm asking you to do it by your spirit, Lord. I'm asking that you would speak to them however way you do, however way you know they hear, because, God, we are your creatures, and only you know how we will hear and obey. So I'm asking that you would trigger those listening and those heeding signals that you put in their souls and cause them to be fair and just. And, God, let them know the dangers and the consequences of violating their word, going back on what they say, but also, Lord, the causing money to destroy their relationship with their family. I'm asking that you would engulf them in this familial sentiment and this familial responsibilities to the point that they'll say, you know what, this is not worth it. We're going to do what's right. I'm asking that you cause them to move by your righteousness, God. And I thank you for doing it, Father, in the omnipotent name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Hey, Bridget.
Yes, ma'am.
You stay strong, and as hard as it's going to be, don't get caught up in this, because I can tell you, Bridget, you have a bright future and a great destiny. No matter how things go, you are marked for greatness. Don't lose that, because that's more powerful than anything you have. There are things that God is going to waken up in your spirit. There are things that an ability and a gift that you have in your hands that God is getting ready to prosper you. I'm telling you, you will not die broke. If you
Amen.
Can download this word and put it on your phone and on whatever else, I'm telling you, there are people, the sound of their spirit is rich. There are people that you can hear destiny in the undercurrent of their voice and in the undercurrent of their soul. I said this to you when we first talked, you are marked for greatness. Now, what you want to do is set your mind on the things that are above and begin to look at what God is telling you to do. I see that there's something that you do with your hands, Bridget, that you, it's a gift, it's a talent, an art that you can do with your hands. To you, it's so easy, it's fun. But to God, it's something that he's going to use in the future. Do not
Amen.
Fall off on this here. You are going to do well. I'm telling you, I don't care if it's through marriage and family. God, I don't know what your mother did. I don't know who she is. I'm telling you, there's an inheritance that didn't fall on your mom that's hitting you. There's a harvest that she sold for you're going to get.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Amen.
It doesn't make a difference how your mom lived or didn't live. There are promises that God makes to different generations, and then he says to your generation, he's stopping it at that generation. When he says your generation and your seed and your seed's seed, God doesn't care how you go out of here. He's going to bless the seed. Your mom had a promise that was taken from her. She had an opportunity that she was literally robbed of, deprived of, for circumstances that were beyond her control. But God watched that situation, and he said, don't worry about it. I'm going to balance the scales of justice. And you, my beloved, you're going to enter into that before you leave this planet.
Amen.
Uh-huh. So you see, life is always bigger than what we think. And so
you have a
lot going on. You are going to do well. So whatever this gift is, this talent is that you have in your hand, you need to start excelling at it and really mastering it, because it's what God's going to use. And God said the favor that your mom was deprived is going to fall on you in multiple measures. Well, you already have unusual favor. You don't even know why you have unusual favor. You can't even figure it out. You know, you don't know why. But see, your mom was deprived, and she suffered a lot of things in her youth that
mm-hmm.
she never, ever, ever could totally rebound from. But it's for you.
Amen.
So cheer up, beloved. I'm telling you, whenever I hear your voice, I mean, I don't even know how many prophets you're around, but you're going to hear people are going to have to bless your life, because the Lord is faithful to your mom.
Amen.
Amen. So listen, I need you to stay in touch, because you know you are an amazing young woman, but I definitely, your life I want to watch. I want to see God bring his word to pass in your life.
Amen. I'm going to hook up with you guys.
I know, well, I expect you to. And besides the fact, if I'm the one in your life, you probably don't want to kick me to the curb, okay? Because you need your enforcement.
No,
you're a blessing. We'll talk soon. God bless you.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ashley.
Oh, yeah.
You know, isn't it wonderful? Huh?
Oh, yeah. I said, I think we have some new family in Bridget.
Well, you know what? When you hear her, there are certain people, you know, because folks, you know, you try to understand the prophetic, and the prophetic is obviously a large percent perception and instinct. And so There are people, their souls and spirits are so full, so stocked, that all they need is for the right voice to come along and to release that thing, to unlock it, for the abundance to start pouring out, and it'll just start flooding your mind. That's one of the reasons why the prophetic is so vital to God. You know, it's vital because it is that thing, it's that spiritual key that nothing in this natural life has, that key to the soul and the treasures of the soul and the vaults of the soul. And it just goes in, if you're the right person, and it begins to unlock those things that you would die otherwise. You know, I think about the churches that don't want the prophetic in it, and I think, you know, those people are probably living at just a fraction, however large a fraction, but a fraction of the wealth and prosperity and potential that's locked up in them. Because some things are in what I call the secret vault of God in our soul. And God has his own messengers that's going to open them. Now, they don't always have to be, you know, public figures and you know, pulpit prophets, but sometimes it's just a matter of a custodian in the hallway at night that you pass and says, you know what, you're going to do so-and-so pretty soon, or I just see you're going to be a very blessed person. Something just as simple as that, but you need somebody who has their spiritual key that are given to prophets and messengers of the Most High God to unlock that vault in you that God has reserved for himself. There are certain things that are just naturally there for you. They're open, but when God... there is a part of us, even in your pre-Christ life, that God has a secret vault, that the hidden riches in your secret places. That's what God goes after. Then there are times that you add to that when you get born again and God puts that brand new spirit in you. It's got a whole new treasury of resources that has to be unlocked. And so Bridget is one of those people, and I have tons of them. You know, Ashley, I remember when I first met you. You're that one. I said, you know, this woman is chock full of treasures, secret riches in hidden places, and the richest places in our lives are in our souls. So I love talking to her. She's just such a blessed lady. But anyway, moving on, I could take another call.
Very good, because I have another one for you. All right. This is Annette. Annette calling from Massachusetts, and she's been out of work for 2 years. And she said she's actually living in a pretty hostile environment and is needing to get some employment so she can get out of this situation. So, Annette, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello.
Hello, Annette from Massachusetts. I don't know if I get many of these New Englanders up there. No, I do. I got some Connecticut folk that I talk to a lot. So, let me, you know, we have family up in Massachusetts. Where are you located?
I'm actually in Boston.
You're in Boston. Okay. Our family's a little bit away, over there in Worcester.
I know Worcester, yeah.
Uh-huh. But
yeah.
I got family there. Did you notice? And then I said it right. I didn't say Worcester. Did you notice that?
You did well.
Because, you know, that's how they know the foreigners. When you say Worcester, they like, oh, say, okay, so you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
But if you say Worcester, then they know.
How are you, Paula?
I am wonderful. Now talk to me. Tell me what it is you need.
I really need employment.
Okay. What is it that you do? First of all, Annette, are you in church?
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh. Da, 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 da. See, at least you know I'm good at what I do. You are
very good.
So you're not in church. Is that a no? Can we say, is that a no?
You know, I feel that you know, my spirit is wanting me to go to church.
Okay, so we got the spirit is online. Now, what's about the rest of you guys?
You don't miss a beat.
No. You know, if we're spirit, soul, and body, it's nice to know the spirit is online. But let's talk about the soul and the body. Now, why are they reluctant to go to church?
I don't know.
What happened in church that made you stop going? You apparently had an experience with God. It seems like it goes back down the line somewhat in your childhood. Is it mom, dad, family, but somebody? So you had an experience. What happened?
I don't know. I guess for me, what it is for me is that I am very, you know, I'm very quiet. Mm-hmm. I'm very quiet. I'm not someone that jumps up and down and screams and yells. Doesn't mean that I don't love the Lord, because I don't do that. And I went to one church, and this is how I feel. It may not have been what it was, but this is how I felt, that, you know, that's not it. No, that's really not it. I think the reason why I'm not going back, because I feel like I gotta get real here, because so much has happened in my life, and I feel like I've lost my faith.
Okay. Let me ask you this: we're gonna walk this through, my beloved. So
I love it. I love it.
Okay, let's walk this through.
Okay.
What did God not do that you believed Him to do? Because you have a major disappointment in God.
Wow. Mm.
You expected Him to do something He did not do. What do you feel He failed to do for you when you needed it most?
I guess maybe to heal my marriage.
And so He didn't do it.
He didn't do it, and looking back at it, to heal my marriage, to heal my relationship with my family,
so these are the two things, so heal and family. Now, so then, am I to understand that your marriage failed, it died?
Yes, we're divorced, yes.
Okay, so you're divorced. Has it been a while?
Yes, it's about 11 years.
Okay, so we're talking 11 years. Now, in that, were you saved when that was happening, or were you just saved?
Oh,
what happened?
I was, definitely. We were churchgoers. I was saved. I was baptized. Oh, yeah, I was very much in the Word. Oh, very much.
Okay, so you were baptized, you were in the Word, you and God.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Now, so your faith, then, let me ask you this. Did you meet in church? I mean, was that where you all connected?
No, we met at work. We actually met at work.
You met at work, but then you started serving God. And so is He still serving God, do you know?
I believe so, because it was my husband was the one that really told me, you know, you need to be baptized. You need
okay.
to be saved.
All right. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. So
okay.
Here's the deal.
Okay.
Here's the deal. You, first of all, you got saved because you were in love with a person. And then as a good wife, you went to church with a man who was in love with God. So as it sounds, and I'm saying as it sounds, you yourself had yet to build a powerful or even effective relationship with God that's just about amen.
Actually, even I felt for me that I was really building a relationship with God, and I was
okay.
getting into the Word, and I felt very, very strong, very, very strong. I mean, I prayed every morning, every afternoon. I depended on God for everything. I was listening to God. I mean, things were just manifesting for me.
Mm-hmm.
And after we got divorced, I just felt like things had stopped.
Yeah, they did. And you know what? You just answered your own question.
Yes, and it's like, how come I'm not able to manifest? And because I would meditate every morning, every afternoon, trust me, God was blessing me. Even when I didn't pray for something, it appeared. It would appear. And then I would find out later, this is why it happened. This is
okay,
why
so,
this appeared for me.
Okay, so let's explore the kingdom protocol. Because this was happening for you
yes.
after you got saved. Is that right? And how long did it last? I mean, in other words, did it happen into your second year in Christ, your third, fourth, fifth year in Christ? How long did it happen before it started seeming like it was drying up?
I would say probably, like, even after we got divorced, the blessing, and for me, the protection was still there. It was still with me. It was still with me. Paula, I would just say, you know what, Lord, I don't have any money in my pocket at the moment. Money would appear out of nowhere.
Let's talk this out, because, see, this is what I understand. So here, you have given me a classic parable example. So I want to thank you for that. Because the Bible says that when the sower sows the word, in the beginning, it's on the top, and they're all excited and euphoric and enthusiastic.
Yeah.
And God, I mean, they just love God, because God can't do enough for them, so they can't do enough for God. But they said when persecution arises for the word's sake.
Yes, yes.
So you were rolling with God as long as you had plan A of his whole process, because of his program. Because, see, God is a dad. You know, when he gets a new baby in the kingdom, he's excited. He blesses. He wants them to know that they have a father. He wants to, but as soon as he starts saying, all right, now I need you to come into reality. And reality is, life does not work like that, not in your planet. In your planet, there's sunshine, etc. So the minute God started perfecting you as a saint, you were out. Which means you still hadn't built a relationship with the true and living God. You built a relationship with his gifts.
Mm. Okay. Yes.
So now God is like, I need you to recognize that I want to go and get more children through you. So we had to move from a date to a marriage. And when God wanted to move into a long-term relationship with you, then he started saying, now, this is reality. Sometimes it's not going to happen, or sometimes I'm going to need you to put forth a little more effort to keep enjoying what you've enjoyed. So the minute that your marriage fell, think about it, the minute it fell, you were out with God. So what did you tell him? If you don't keep my stuff in the manner to which I want to become accustomed, I'm done with you.
Wow, I never thought like that.
Most people don't, because we don't, you know, if you don't get good spiritual foundation, you're a victim of a lot of things in the kingdom. I mean, that's why you need quality teachers. So you and God had you scratch my back, I scratch your back.
Wow.
You know, quid pro quo, that's what it was for you and God. So he stopped scratching your back, and you were like, I'm done. Because the God I serve would not do me like this. And yet the God that you chose, the God that saved your soul, is looking to make you stronger and more effective in the kingdom.
Yes, yes.
So here you are. So now you have to change your relationship with God. You have to change your perception of him. God is not your sugar daddy.
Right.
And he's not the candy man. And so now, but listen to me, beloved. A lot of people are like that right now. They're stuck in the last time God blessed them and haven't been able to move past the last blessing or his first no. And when if all it takes is for God to say no, for us to leave him, then guess what? We were not with him for our gratitude. We weren't with him because we were penitent. You know, God, you saved me from stuff I shouldn't even be saved. Or because we're grateful, God, you're blessing me and I don't even deserve it. You know, that kind of a thing, because I know the life I lived before you. I know the attitudes. I know how I treated you. We don't have that attitude because we have to be trained to think like that. Think of kids. Kids have to be trained to think responsibly about their parents.
Right.
They live from the time they come into the world. They live emotionally, but they have to be trained to think responsibly. And so now, here we are right now, God, 2 years, and you and God should be, you know, he should be able to tell you why you're not working directly.
Exactly.
You can't, because he don't have a relationship like that. Now, you're his daughter. There's no question about you being his daughter. You are his daughter, but you are estranged.
Yes. Oh, yes. And I feel that more than anything. That's, to me, that's the saddest thing for me.
Well, aren't you glad you called me today? Because we can fix that. That we can fix. We can not only fix that, but we can put you back to work, because that's not hard. But God refused to be used and abused.
Right.
He will distance himself before he allows you to use and abuse him.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, and he will hit you, and you know, and you happen to love him, even though you don't even have the relationship with him you want. You literally love him. You're like, but I love God. I don't have a problem with that. But you did not know how to love him.
Yes.
And so that's what we want. God is always looking to make us as he is, life was not easy for God. As he brought himself into existence, all that we see he had today, he had to work towards that. That's why he said we work. And he wanted to teach us to do that same kind of mastery of your environment, mastery of your situations. And that's what the trial was about.
And that's why, for so long, I knew it was like I lost a best friend. I lost my friend. And I felt like I was wandering. And I couldn't find the connection that I had with the Lord was so powerful for me. No matter what was going on in my life, I could always sit and depend on the Lord no matter what was going on. I never questioned, never questioned. And I just started to feel lonely. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can't find my way back home. I feel like I'm lost.
Well, we're going to get you back home. And let me tell you this. Here's how God thinks, okay? Just so you know how God thinks. God thinks you have life and then you have him. And he does not live in the cesspool of our life. He said, hallow the Lord in your heart. You know, hallow the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. So God said, I'm here to be your refuge. I'm here to be your comfort. And sometimes I want you to fight for me.
Amen.
We have been taught as Christians that we don't have to fight for God. Now, we need to fight for job or whatever. But when I read my Bible, there are several times where it says God distanced himself from Israel to see what they would do, to see if he was number one or not. And so when he started distancing, he was saying, leave me alone. Can I tell you a testimony?
Yes.
If I can. When I first met the Lord in 1982, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And immediately, like you, God started chatting with me. First of all, I was stunned to know that he talked, but he started chatting. He shared his mind, shared his heart, told me what he felt like. I had an explosive, vibrant introduction to the Lord Almighty. It was powerful. Now, so all of a sudden, listen to this, you're going to love it. I wake up one day, and he stops talking. Now, I wake up every morning, and God is like, chat, 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 all up for that morning. I went to bed. He's talking up a storm, and I'm loving it. This is great. I'm learning him. He's sharing his heart, his mind. But then one day, he stopped talking. And so when he stopped talking, he didn't just stop talking. I felt suddenly dry around me.
Yes, yeah.
Now, so I did. It was dry. So I went through my entire workday, and I'm lost. I'm like, what you're talking about? Wait a minute. And so finally, I went to bed that night. He still didn't say a word. I woke up the next day, and this is what I said to him when he didn't talk the next morning. I said, now look, I did, you know, we have that kind of relationship. I said, now look, I know this is a test because you want to see if I'd miss you if you didn't speak to me. And if you wanted to see if I would miss how we relate. So let me just tell you right now, you can call the test over because I miss you. And I miss you every day. And I expect for as long as I'm on this planet for you to talk to me. I don't care who doesn't want to hear your voice. I do. So test over. We need to resume. And I want you to know he said nothing that day. The next morning I woke up. Now, that was in 1982.
Wow.
The next day I woke up. And from that day to this, I never have a day that God doesn't speak to me because I let him know I cherish him making himself accessible and available to me. I did not read it like I had done some sin, and if I had, I told him, if I messed up, I need you to forgive me. I read your words, said you got to forgive me, but I want an ongoing, real-life, moment-by-moment relationship with you, and I want you to never stop it again. I don't care what I go through. And I'm telling you, I've had some dark, dark times. I've had some horrible, scary times. I remember being in surgery, scared to death and angry with him. But you know what? He honored that covenant. And a lot of people seem to think that when God shuts up, that's their time to walk away. No, no. God wants to know if I'm important. So you're going to let him know he's important. And that no matter who comes in your life and who leaves, no matter what, whether you rise or whether you fall, he's number one.
Amen.
See, God is number one. So today, we're going to pray you back in that place. Because once you're back into that place, then guess what? You are going to appreciate the things that God wants to tell you. There are a lot of things about your marriage he wanted to share with you that you didn't know. But because he fell out, he couldn't tell you. So today, you're going to get back. Now, that's the first thing. And then secondly, my beloved, when you start talking to God, he's going to lead you to a church. Go there and sit. Don't criticize the pastor. Don't criticize the way they look. Don't, because you know how you like to do. Don't do that.
Okay.
Just go there and be glad to be back in the household of God and among the saints.
Yes.
Because you need a spiritual covering. I said
yes.
to someone last week, and I will say it to you, Annette, hear me. This word is true. Even if you are feel like you are anonymous in your church, you're not anonymous to God, and whatever blessings God ordained on a house, you, by virtue of being a member thereof,
Amen.
Get them by default.
Yes, yes.
And then because if they're praying, their prayers cover their congregation, covers their members. If you're
Amen.
Part of the members, you get their prayer coverage by default. But
Amen.
If nobody knows that you are an alien in your land, you're isolated, you have nobody covering you, you have nobody,
Amen.
You have
yes.
no hope. And so you're going to go to church, right?
Okay, yes.
All right. And you're not going to go and try to change the church, because, see, you're a smart lady. You're not going to go and try to change the church, right?
Right. I'm not going to do that.
Okay, that's good. So I have to ask you that. See, you're a brilliant woman, and you like to build, you like to change things, you like to improve stuff. You are full of ideas and innovation.
Yes.
And when you're in your right self, you are amazing. The next thing I want to tell you is that you need to go and take some training in mm-hmm. what it is that you are building, because you have a vision for a business that you've not done.
Yes, yes.
You
Very
need
true.
To
yes.
go. Yeah, you do. And you need to go and get some training in it, because, and you need to hear God, because you can't even hear God on where to go. But
exactly.
after talking, you're going to talk to Jesus tonight. Y'all going to have a great talk. It's going to be marvelous. Trust me on his word, because he loves you and he misses you. So you're going to have a great talk. Yeah, trust me.
I
you
love
know,
you.
You know, it's going to be wonderful. You're going to have a wonderful makeup. It's going to be great. And then tomorrow morning, he's going to start telling you what to do with your life.
Yes, yes. Paula, I have been waiting for this, and I knew in my heart, I'm like, there is a reason for this, because I have never, ever been out of work this long, ever.
Yep.
I've always been able to bounce back and find something else. And I said to my friend, I said, you know what? There's a reason for this. God's not moving on it. There's a reason for it. Things are quiet.
So God
There's a reason
wants you
for
to
it.
Not take him for granted, and that's
yes.
something that you're going to make a vow. You're not going to take him for granted again.
Yes.
Because he has feelings and he's a person. You realize that God's system will work, and he doesn't ever talk to us. Do you realize that there are billions of people on the planet who don't even know there is a God?
Absolutely, yes.
And he takes pains to make sure that we not only know that there is a God, but that he's on our side, that he is alive, and that we are his best interest and he's ours. So he doesn't want you to ever take him for granted again, not even when you get the new relationship. Don't take him for granted. You
okay.
do not ever mix up what God gives you
Amen.
With who God is to you. Don't you ever
Amen.
Confuse him. What he gives you is one thing. Who he is to you has to remain something else.
Okay. okay.
So let me pray, because you need to get on. Hey, we got to get you back into your makeup. So let's go. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for Annette. I thank you for who she is. I thank you, Lord, that she's a daughter to you and that you truly, truly love her. I'm asking, God, that you wash her in the blood of the Lamb, that you cleanse up her life, cleanse her heart, but take away all of those stony places so that she can begin to feel you and enjoy you again. God, I'm thanking you that as you lead her to full repentance, that she enjoys full forgiveness, but not only that, restoration. And, Lord,
yes.
that you create the relationship that you want with her as a grown daughter, no longer
yes.
as a babe and a toddler, no longer as a teen, but as a grown daughter. And, God, I thank you that as you do, that you get her back on her feet, she begins
yes.
to hear you, that you guide her footsteps. And the first thing I'm asking you to do, Lord Jesus, is to guide her to one of your congregations
yes.
and to set her in your flock. And, God, because your word decrees that a sheep without a shepherd is cursed. So I'm asking that you would put her in your flock and that you would settle her where she ought to be. And, Lord, when you do, then I thank you for giving her the job that you have been holding for her,
yes.
holding in store
yes.
for her until she got her situation with you worked out. So I
yes.
thank you for all of these blessings. We release them, Father God, in the awesome name of Jesus, and we call it done by faith. I decree it be so. Amen and amen.
Thank you. Paula,
you're very welcome,
you.
Love. Keep me posted
so.
Now. We're going to talk soon, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
I always see you on Blog Talk, and I go by you, and today said, no. You're going to call her today. You've been praying about you want change. You've been praying about how you want this and that. You need to call her today.
Well, I'm glad you did, and I know you are. So we're gonna give me an update in a few months. I'm gonna look forward to it. And when you call in a few months, you're gonna say to Ashley, "I'm Annette from Boston that she talked to way back then, and she's gonna remember because Ashley has a fairly good memory on good days. And so you know she's gonna get me for that. But anyway, God bless you, Annette. We'll talk soon.
God bless you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Ha ha ha. Fairly good.
She's gonna get me for that. I know it.
That's all right. I was getting a little choked up on that call. I was like, oh, okay, keep it together.
Oh, but you know the people who really belong to Jesus Christ, they don't feel good without Him. That's how you know a true saint, a true Christian. They are sorrowful without God. Now, they can put on a happy face and all of that, but if you give them an opportunity to yoke back up to their Savior, they're going to do it. They're going to seize the day. This woman loves God. She appreciates who He is, and she knows that He is the anchor of her hope. And so I know I expect good things from Annette, don't you?
Oh, yes. She's a determined woman, and so she is going to get the prize on this one.
Absolutely. So we're going to have fun about it. So listen, Ashley, what do you think? Do you think I deserve a break or what?
You know, I'll make sure you get 2 sips of coffee.
Okay.
We'll be back. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't miss the annual Apostolic Summit with Dr. Paula Price. Join us for a weekend of explosive fivefold ministry training, apostleship branding, apostolic and prophetic collaboration, kingdom leadership, strategy sessions for the upcoming year, and so much more. If you are an apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist, ministry leader, or apostolic student, then this event is for you. You will enjoy a variety of dynamic speakers during both the classroom-style sessions and the general sessions, as well as personal ministry and prayer. Call now to register and reserve your place. Special discounts are available. Call 877-419-1299 for more information or visit www.drpaulaprice.com to register today.
Have you ever wondered, why do I hear from God? Is what happens when I pray normal? Why do I think so differently? Is my relationship with God unusual? How do I explain my experiences with God? Does anyone else experience these things? I have so many talents, but how do I find my purpose? I know I'm called to ministry, but where do I begin? These daily questions lead to one solution. Introducing the Standardized Ministry Assessments Series. What was on God's mind when He made you? Find out how our assessments can help you uncover your greatest mystery, you. Our standardized ministry assessments consist of 800 ministry-specific questions, 114 ministry-based categories, 50 ministry classifications, a comprehensive gift analysis, fivefold office identifiers, automatic response indicators, targeted benchmark scoring, automated result interpretations, custom readiness path options, call-specific recommendations, personal ministry advisement. Is this basically a personality test? No. Your results are custom designed and not based on the traditional data used to determine your personality type or IQ. Instead, your results come from you, how you think, and what you believe, not predetermined categories into which you must loosely fit. Dr. Paula Price's nearly 25 years of research and experience see to that. How is this different from a spiritual gift test? Our assessments are not a test, and assess more than just your spiritual gift, what you are good at, and may be interested in doing for your church. We help you define your ministry calling, how ready you are to do it full time, the type of training you need to do it well, and the best place for you to prosper, whether in or out of the church. They don't just give you a number, they give you a life plan. We offer 3 levels of assessments. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire. The Prophetic Aptitude Questionnaire. The Apostolic Diagnostic. So what's your ministry IQ? Discover yours today. www.drpaulaprice.com or call 877-649-PPMG.
Scandal, deception, secret affairs, misappropriation of funds, nepotism, promotion without training or experience. Sound like Hollywood or perhaps Wall Street? Unfortunately, this has become more and more commonplace in the body of Christ. As a result, many people have lost faith in their leaders and no longer trust those put in place to watch over their spiritual growth. It's time for God's ministers to take back the ground that has been lost and provide qualified, competent, verifiable leadership that His people can rely on. So what is the first step to making this a reality? The answer is ministerial credentialing. Credentialing attests to the qualifications, competence, or authority that a person has in a particular field. Diplomas, degrees, certifications, and licenses are all a part of credentialing. Though credentialing programs exist for pastors, teachers, and evangelists, there is very little available to properly credential apostles and prophets. Until now. Dr. Paula Price, New Era Apostleship Restitution Council, and Kingdom Embassy University present CLOCK, our credentialing program that stands for Certification, Licensure, Ordination, and Commissioning. Whichever is appropriate for your calling or area of kingdom service, we have a program for you. Get trained and receive a certificate of completion or achievement, a license to perform or function in a ministry capacity, ordination to a designated ministry office, or commissioning to discharge an advanced professional ministry post. Take the first step today by going to www.ppmglobalresources.com and taking a ministry assessment questionnaire to find out where you fit and what kind of training you need. Be a part of the solution and make sure you are a leader that God and His people can rely on. Visit www.ppmglobalresources.com today.
All right, and we are back on the Paula Price Show. One more announcement from Prophet Adia. She wants everybody to know that the early bird registration for our Apostolic Summit in November has been extended through October 15th, so make sure you take advantage of that. Also, you can hashtag Paula Price After Show for all the post-show thoughts and conversations. A lot of good things happening today, so make sure you plug into that. We have our Twitter Follower of the Week, which is at Melick79, and our Facebook Subscriber of the Week is Lovey Clemens. So make sure that you continue to post about the show. Those of you who are our supporters of the week, be on the lookout for a nice little fun gift from us in your inbox, in your email in the coming days. So keep track of us, and we'll keep track of you. And you can always call in to see what's going on here in PPM Global Resources. Dr. Price, are you still there?
Yep, got a couple. Well, I didn't get any sips in, so let me not say that. But guess what? I got some breaths, and I got a couple of deep breaths in, and it was wonderful. You know, I like the Twitter and the Facebook thing. You know, I always love the Facebook after the show and the Twitter, because that just lets me know what our listeners think. You know, Ashley, we have very, very bright people, very insightful people that listen to us, and I love to hear their feedback. And also like to hear what their thoughts are. I bet you when I'm discussing an issue with someone on the call, you know, whatever that issue might be, it would be great, don't you think, to hear the thoughts of our listeners? Like, well, what do you think about that? And, you know, that kind of a thing. Because, or how did it help you? Because sometimes we have people tell us that they call us and they just listen in because they want to hear the wisdom so that they can use it for the situations that they address in their ministry. Wouldn't it be great if they shared some of the wisdom that they gained from listening? Don't you think that's a great idea?
Oh, absolutely. And, well, first of all, Dr. Price, you're smart. And so, you know, we kind of have to be smart to follow what you're saying. And then we become smarter because of your smarts. And also that there is nothing too small. You know, we want our listeners to know that any wisdom that you get will most likely help somebody else out. And so we do want to hear back from you.
Yes. So make sure you Facebook me and let me get it right, Ashley. I can say this. And tweet me, hashtag. See, did I do it?
You're doing it.
All the links. I'm getting the lingo down. I am impressed with me, okay? I'm getting all of the lingo. So I can sound like I know what this generation is talking about. I want to be technologically versant, you know? Maybe we'll create a new word, techno-versant. That's a nice word. But anyway, people, my friends and celebrants and sisters and brothers and peers and colleagues and all that you all see, because I have family that gets on here too. You know, I have family, I have my sisters and the relatives. This is great. But let me know what you think. I'm interested in hearing from you too. You all are important. You are why the Paula Price Show works. And you are why we are here every Thursday, because your success is important to us. And sometimes you need another strong man to come alongside and to break you through in those situations and to pull you out of situations. You don't even know how you got in. You know, they tell me oftentimes sheep fall into stuff. They don't know how they got in it. They just want to get out. And then you need that shepherd or that other person to come and lift you up and get you back on the road and back in the flock. So I definitely want to say that. Hey, speaking about back in the flock, I want to, again, and I'm going to start this regularly because, you know, we bought into a thing. I'm going to call it a thing. We bought into a thing in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s to say, you don't need to be in a church to hear from God. You don't need to be in a church to serve God, etc. But I want to tell you something. That was a thing, and it was a very flawed and faulty thing. Now, if you are homebound and you are ill, yes, then thank God for plan B. But plan A is forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together with the saints. Now, we can get all caught up with he just wants my money and all of that. You know what? So does Visa. So does your utility company. Come on. Everybody wants your money. You just pick and choose who you think is worth it, okay? But so that ought not to be a criterion, of whether or not you go to church. But I want to say to you, God has ways of covering our lives. For example, he covers our lives with our parents. No one is more vulnerable than an orphan because nobody's looking out for your life. As a matter of fact, so concerned is God about orphans that he says this to his apostles when he's leaving. He said, I will not leave you orphans, but I will send you another helper or comforter. So that's one thing. He covers our lives with our families and our relatives. You know, that person that you can call when things go off, you know, and all of that. He does it. He covers our lives with friends. That was a part of coverage. You know, life has a lot of layers of covering. And if we are really wholesome people, we're going to enjoy all of those layers. Of course, he covers our lives with our jobs and our career, meeting our economic and financial responsibilities, etc. But the greatest covering he has, of course, we know is himself. And between himself and all of those other coverings is his church. Now, you may not think the church is important to you when life is working. And it may be wonderful to say, well, I'm just going to roll over on Sunday and watch my favorite minister. And then I'll roll over to my computer and I'll just send a donation. But you realize your favorite minister cannot go to the hospital when you're in there or your family's in there. Your favorite minister cannot go to the jail, can't go to the court, can't even come to your house to help you do anything, can't supply you with members to help you move and relocate. There are a lot of things your favorite and famous TV minister can never do. And they don't have a place where you're going to be blessed. That's why so many people are frustrated having supported XYZ minister all these years, and when they run into a rough patch of life, have nowhere to turn. It is nice to say that I'm a member of this television church and this internet church, but you still need bodies. No matter how it works, you still are going to need somebody somehow to hold your hand, to counsel, to pray for you, to cover you, to lay hands on you, etc. In addition, God covers regions in several capacities, and one of those is through the churches that are in the land. And so even if they don't know your name, you've been on that church role, that congregation, not a television show. See, there's a difference between the show, hallelujah, and a congregation. You've been on that congregation where you are giving back more than just a check, whether it's just you showing up and joining with that body, which you need to do, puts you in a different status. It's like the one with the family and the child without a family. Even if the child without a family doesn't come home but two times a year, they're still a family member. You need to be with a congregation that is taking responsibility for its membership and covering. And so I'm telling you, if you are one of those people that you are bought into, I don't need to be in a church, you are also by default, not I don't mean by intent, but by default, you are also one of those people who are contributing to the abolishment and the demise of the local church. And I don't think that's what a lot of you mean. So I'm telling you, by the Spirit of the living God, you need to support what God supports. God says the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. You need to recognize that you are part of the weaponry that he uses to keep his churches going. That's something that I want you to know. Jesus Christ is, he's in love with his church. I don't care how many people tell you he doesn't. This man loves his church. He so loves his church that he gave his life for it. He so loves his church that he calls it his wife. Now, that's a lot of love. He so loves his church that he calls it his wife, and he needs his wife in her place. And so I would say to those of you who know that I just don't get anything out of church, when you give something to it, bring something to it. If you don't get anything out of church, then find out, A, where there's a church that you can get something out of, or B, go and sit there and go to the Bible studies. Maybe you need a closer touch. Go to the prayer sessions. Maybe you need to get deeper into his spiritual life. But don't castigate this man's church. It is offensive what we do to this man's church. It is offensive. We wouldn't do that to our own spouses and our own boyfriends and girlfriends' interests and beloved. And the church is his beloved. So I just felt I needed to say that. And guess what, folks? I'm going to say it a lot. Because he tells me he is grieved when you stand there and bash his church. It grieves him. It hurts his feelings. It's like somebody bashing your house and bashing your family and bashing your best friend and, you know, all of those kinds of things. You hate it. And yet we do it to his church like it doesn't matter. Even preachers. And we do it inadvertently. We don't mean to, but we're inspired to do it by the hostility of Jesus' adversaries. And that hostility literally throws its thoughts and it infects our minds and consciousness about his church. I'm telling you, this man calls his church his wife. That's a pretty high calling. That means it means more to us than we could ever imagine. And not many good husbands want you bashing their wives, and not many wives are going to tolerate you mistreating their husbands, not if they're true. So that's something I wanted to share today, Ashley. You know, I've got these little pearls that come up. So that's one of my pearls. Hallelujah.
Well, very, very good. Well, you know, people want to treat it. It's kind of like saying I'm going to replace food with supplements and vitamins. So I'm going to stop eating food to take vitamins because they have the nutrients I need, and I'm just going to switch it out. But that's not the way we were made. That's why they are supplemental and not replacements.
I like that. And that's what I feel. In addition to that, your body processes a pill differently than it processes a meal. And so we need to know that. It's important. So I wanted to say that, and I'm going to keep saying it, and you need to support the church. You cannot tell God, I took my family on this huge vacation, and now one of the kids is sick. God, please jump in. Come on, act like Jesus is alive. If he is alive, if he's real, if he's on the planet by the Holy Spirit, then let's treat him like that, and let's stop treating him as if he's some sort of religious icon on the wall or some wonderful prose in a book. He's a person, and he responds to us as a person. So now, Ashley, I should have time to get me another call in there.
You sure do, and I have one lined up. This is Demisha from Connecticut. We haven't heard from her for a while on the line, but she's back today, and she's calling for some prayer. She has a lot going on in her life. She's recently gotten married. She's working, and things seem to be kind of coming apart for her, and she needs to pull them back together. And she wants to make sure she's moving in the right direction. So, Demisha, welcome back to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to be back on. How are you, Dr. Price?
Well, I'm great. I'm glad to hear your voice. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I just, before you went on break and you gave your testimony about, you know, God not speaking, that is where I'm at. You know, I'm, when he's not speaking to me, I feel like I am a little lost. And before, when I first got saved, and I would be praying and I would be hearing God's voice really clear, and, you know, now it's just like, I can't hear you. So, you know, I know I'm probably not in a place, I probably am not praying like I should be, but I just need to make sure I'm hearing his voice, you know, clear, and making sure he's speaking to me, because I don't feel like I have that closeness with him anymore.
Well, you said you just got married, right?
Yes, I did. In
well,
June.
In June?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you're a couple of months newlywed.
Yes, yes.
All right. Now, is your husband saved?
Yes, he is. He is. He's going, but he's not into the church like I am. I mean, he's you know, he goes, but, you know, he's kind of fallen off. So, you know, I need prayer also for that as well, you know, that he would seek more of the things of God, you know, for himself.
Well, was he falling off when you all were dating and engaged?
No. Nope. Nope.
So,
this is all happened after.
No surprise there, right?
Yep.
You know, you gotta have fun with the brotherhood that says, you know, I can play a role as long as it takes to get what I want. You know, men are warriors. They're natural conquerors and warriors. But they're very good at working that out. And a lot of women, too. So let's not make it a gender thing. But,
right.
So,
right.
So he did well, and then he got his wife, and he got the woman he wanted, and then his true spiritual conduct showed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you, right now, because he's got what he wants, have no power to influence him, right?
No, I mean, you know, he'll ask, you know, he'll say things like, well, I'm coming to church, or I'll go with you. But it, to me, it's like, I want you to want to go for yourself. Like, don't come just because you're saying you're going to come with me, because you were coming before on your own. So why is it now that you want to go with me, your wife? Like, I want him to go and have a desire to go on his own. I don't want you to go because I want you there.
Okay. Well, you know, Demetria, you probably are a little bit more idyllic on that than you should be. He
okay.
was going before, and apparently he was going because we wanted to be a husband. He wanted to get married. He was looking
right.
for a wife, you know? So that was, mm-hmm. I mean, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. If you're going to look for a wife, let's look for a godly wife. Nobody mm-hmm. is criticizing that. So he did nothing wrong. But that's what he was doing. Also, he let you know in ways that you overlooked, that you're probably seeing now, that you know, Jesus Christ is his. An intense relationship with God was not what he was looking for. You know, he's a church man. That's fine. Here's what you need to know. If he wants to go with you, then let him go. It's
okay.
up to God to convert his heart. So you can't mandate the depth and the quality of his spiritual walk. Right now, if you are his motivation, bless God. At least he's got some.
Okay.
Okay, and you have a man who wants to go to church with you and come in, and if you are why he wants to worship God, God starts where he starts. God obviously wants him. He gave him a godly wife. So there you go. And so, you know, let's not confuse the academics of our spirituality
okay.
with the practicality of it. Because there's a practical thing that God is real on. God knew his heart, and he knew yours. And so, obviously, it works. So if he wants to come, then let him come with you. Encourage him to come with you so that you build a family. Who knows? He could get hooked on God if you keep him there long enough.
Okay.
Because before he was hooked on his loneliness. Now he's a husband. His life is content. It works the way he wants it to work. That's the first thing. Secondly, I tell every woman, they don't ever listen. Because, you know, a woman in love and a woman desperate to cease being alone, and we don't want to admit that, but that's a high motivator. Okay, just like he didn't want to be alone any longer. So a woman in love and a woman who's desperate to cease being alone will not listen to the fact that the law of Genesis 3 is real. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. That's real. And as long as you were a girlfriend, his influence on you was subject to God. The minute he became your husband, then that changed the order of things. And he is a dominant influence in your life. the mantle of a husband is on him, and it's overwhelming you.
Okay.
And that's the law of God. Submit yourself to your own husband. And I tell women who've been single a while, and really men too, because I've heard men have the same complaint. When you take a spouse, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 7, you have already decided that God is going to move in the background. Because God wants your marriage to work. He wants you to enjoy each other. He wants you to get to know each other. So if you marry someone who doesn't share your depth and level of spirituality and spiritual sensitivity or appetite for Christ, which is a better thing, you marry someone who does not share your appetite for Christ, then you are going to suffer for it.
Okay.
And that's a decision we make. That's not again, Tamisha, that's not a bad thing. But you're going to have to adjust to the fact that your relationship with God is going to be yours, and his relationship with God is going to be his. And whatever family relationship you have will be determined by how deep he's going to allow his family to get into the things of the Spirit of Christ.
Okay.
Because in God's world, that's the head of the house. And you chose that. You didn't know what you were choosing. Because you were moved by, you know, whatever it is that got you, your love, whatever. And again, this isn't criticism. This is reality. And now you're having the transition from single to married. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Reality shock. This is a real shock because his house, your house is the same, and you both have a say-so on how much Christ is going to be in their house. And he's going to have more of a say-so than you. And so you are going to have to let God do God. God did not save. God never saves couples. He never saves us as a couple. Even if he saves the two of us, trust me, there are no couples in God. Now, there are marriages that are in his kingdom. But when you got saved, it was about you. And when he got saved, it was about him. And God is going to bring him along the way he brings him along. You chose to have somebody who didn't share your appetite with Christ. And a lot of people do it. But now we have to have plan B. And plan B is you let God be God.
Okay.
And you're going to have to learn to navigate this new landscape that you've created that says God is going to deal with you. And God is working with you. God's not angry. He's pulling back. He said, well, you're going to need to work on your marriage. So I'm not going to give you a reason to avoid working on your marriage.
Okay.
And I'm not going to be an escape goat. You're not 20, 30 years married where things are settled. No, you're new. God wants you to become a wife to your husband, to accept that this is the environment you have, and to allow him now to deal with you as a wife with a duty to a husband instead of a single woman that has him as the center of her life. God is no longer that center, and you got to accept that.
Okay.
Okay. Now, he can be the center of your marriage, but he's not going to take the place of you submitting to your husband or you obeying your husband or even just intelligently and concentratively working on your marriage. You're going to have to make this work. And trust me, you got married too soon, but your marriage is going to work.
Okay.
You jumped the gun on God. I don't know. You and I never talked about it. I didn't know anything about it. And really, I don't know all of the details, but I can tell you this. By the Spirit of grace, God told you to wait. You jumped the gun on God.
Okay.
Because God wanted to finish the work in him.
Okay.
Now you're going to be a part of the finishing. You all were
right.
Supposed. You didn't miss marrying him. You just married him out of season.
Okay.
He's going to be fine. Do not worry. He is going to be fine because, remember, in this environment, he's got a whole bunch of shocks that he's dealing with. He's got a wife. He's got a family. The whole thing has to happen. And I tell you, it takes a little bit for the spirit of marriage to take over a union where the two people cease to be one and cease to be two and become one. So you also are going to have to pray for God to help him settle into this. But God is not going, he never will, and I say to all of you all who are waiting to get married, God is never going to usurp an upstage marriage because it is his first institution.
Okay.
So he's never going to upstage it. He's going to, and if it means that, because a lot of times people do that, they'll, I'm just not going to deal with you. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to go to prayer closet. Then you got people, newly met wet folk, you in your prayer closet 5 hours a day. They can't knock on the door, can't come in. You know, he's in his prayer closet. That's not building a marriage. And God is about you building a marriage. And trust me, beloved, it is going to work. I can tell you by the Spirit of the living God, it's going to be rocky. It's going to be bumpy because there are some things that God would have liked to have ironed out beforehand that didn't get ironed out, but they are not reasons for you not to continue and rejoice in your marriage.
Okay.
So I'm telling you right now, so you don't go, you know, because see, you'll go forward thinking, oh, God, I'm wrong. And then that whole spirit of divorce that likes to tear up Christian marriages will begin to work on both of you all to the point that you begin to buy into the lie that it's a mistake. It is not a mistake.
Okay.
Doesn't you need to hear that?
Yes. Because, you know, I was actually thinking like you were, like, you know, God is my first thing, and my relationship with God comes before anything else. So, you know, what you just said really just cleared it up for me.
Well, in theory, I mean, and in reality, it does. But it can't come before everything else if you're going to use it as a reason to avoid doing everything else.
Okay.
And that's what you were doing. You know, so I want to have what I had with God. God, what how God related to you as a single woman is not how he's going to relate to you as a spouse. He is not going to rival that husband like that.
Okay.
It's easier for him to work on the husband's heart, work on your heart, while y'all work on marriage. You are responsible. When I got saved, I've been married for several years. True story. I'd been married for about maybe 7 or 8 years when I got saved. Had 3 children, had a husband, and all of that, and then got saved. And you heard my story. I got saved, and God stepped up into my life, like, immediately. I mean, no joke, and seized control. But, you know, so I went to God, and I said, well, now, God, I enjoyed my time with you. I don't know what to do because now I have this husband and whatever. God said, your family is your responsibility. You need to work it out.
Okay.
So then I thought, well, of course, I went to these religious women, and they let me know that God didn't say that. So I go back to God. Now, God, they tell me, you don't talk like this. You need to work out your marriage. Those are your responsibilities. I will bless you in whatever way you do it, but I am not going to be the reason you abdicate your responsibilities. You're going to balance them because that's life. You're going to balance them. And so I went on with that. So eventually it ended up I did my job. I put my family, you know, where they need to be, took care of them, put them to bed, and between 11:30 and 1 a.m. every morning, I visited God.
Okay.
Because I made a choice, and the choice meant sacrifice, and the first sacrifice was on me. So if you want to, you just set up a time that God can know that he's going to meet you, and he's going to meet you in that time. Because God is a God of order and covenant. So if you say, God, okay, my husband is usually asleep by 10, then you're going to have to set 10:30, 11 o'clock. God, I will meet you here at 10:30 every day, and you honor it. If you do, I promise you, it will work out well.
Okay.
And then you'll do it for 6 months and decide it won't matter, and God will let you know you're violating your covenant.
Okay.
So it's up to us, especially when you're a wife. You got to work it out. We got to work around it like we have to work around everything. Marriage is about a workaround. It's going to work around everything. And so you're going to do well. Your marriage is going to go well. I'm very excited about your future as I'm looking into it. You're going to do well, but I want to tell you something. God will never, ever exempt you from your covenant to become a wife because that was an option you chose. Now he's going to work with your marriage, and it's going to grow. And you're going to be fine. You won't even know the man that you married in 3 years. He will be a different man in 3 years, but you're going to ride this out.
Okay.
And in 3 years, you're going to see the man God wanted you to have.
Okay.
So, that's not bad, you know?
No.
It's not bad.
No.
It's not stopping you up along the way.
No, thank you. Oh, boy. Thank you.
I know. You're like, well, boy, could I have listened? You want to listen, baby. You went love. Honey, you had stars in your eyes, and you went in love. Somebody can tell you. Because, honey, let me tell you, when you're in love, wisdom is an enemy.
Okay.
So that's just the way it is. Let me pray with you because we're running out of time. Father,
okay.
Thank you for Demetria. Thank you for her marriage. God, I pray for her husband. I pray for his settlement in you. I'm also praying, God, that he gets the acclimation to this new life that he needs to be comfortable and confident and secure in it. Now, Lord, I'm also asking that you would cause them to accelerate in their formation of that spirit of marriage. I'm asking that you would bless this union. I remove the spirit of angst out of it, and the concerns of this wife, we kind of release that. I command you, divorce, to draw back your stratagem, to draw back your tactics, and I command you to leave this union alone in equitable chapter, in Jesus' name. And I submit you by the Holy Ghost, and I call upon you success and prosperity, harmony and union and unity in every regard. Now, Lord, I thank you that you teach both of them individually and together how to become spouses in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I bless you for doing it, Father. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You are very welcome, my beloved. You're going to do fine, so be at peace.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Are you there, Prophet?
I'm here.
You know, I have to say that so you get your mute going, you know, because you mute out and carrying on. That'll get you back online. They probably don't know why I say that, but I just want you to know it's okay to jump in.
I'm quick on the trigger.
Very, very good. Isn't it wonderful how God is?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, and I like the differentiation between you didn't marry the wrong person, you married them out of season, which can often feel like the same thing.
You know you're right, and because you're still the foreignness of it. And because sometimes God is building a tapestry, what I call that matrimonial covering, that tapestry of that marriage covering that needs a little more work. You know, sometimes you got a few gaps in it and some threads didn't connect. We didn't do some finishing. You know, she married a good man. You could just, you know, by the Spirit of God, I can tell you, she married a very good young man, but she has to let him grow now. And sometimes it's the same thing with husbands. You know, you're so excited about not having the prospect of not being alone. You know, I can come home to somebody, dinner and all of those things, that you forget you're marrying people. And not only that, you know, God, we've been talking about this for the last several months. I tell everybody out there, you don't just marry a person. You marry their world. And everything in their world has some effect or some say or influence on your unit, on your union. So you have to be prepared to take on their world. Whenever I decide to, you know, really deal in this subject, which, you know, is something that's not my favorite subject to deal in, but I want to talk about that. You don't just marry a person. You marry their world. You marry their pluses, their minuses. You marry their assets and liabilities. You marry their strengths and their weaknesses. And you also marry their friends and their adversaries. All of that comes into it. That's why marriage, it should be a mature thing, because you have to eventually navigate all of those situations and still stay in love and believe God. So anyway, Ashley, we had a great show today, don't you think?
Yes, we did.
And we're running out of time, aren't we?
Yes, we are. I just want to say once again that you are here in Joliet at Antioch Christian Assembly International Church this evening. This evening's dinner, it does have a registration, and it is for senior leaders only. That's important to say. So if you contact the ministry and you're interested in coming, our listeners need to know, if you call 815-727-0122. There is a registration for this weekend, either the whole thing or per day. It's pretty nominal, not too expensive. And also, the church is at 1110 Curtis Avenue, if you GPS that, 1110 Curtis Avenue here in Joliet. I almost said Joliet, Oklahoma. Bless God. Joliet, Illinois.
Back home, aren't you? And you're right, Ashley, it is for senior leaders. So I'm glad you pointed that out to me, so that we don't have folks coming in who just won't be able to do much of what I'm saying. But if you're a senior leader, hey, that was good, Ashley. See, and again, you get another point.
Yay, I like points.
Okay, well, I'm done for today. We will get together again on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, and again next Thursday at 11 a.m. Central Time. Until then, my brothers and sisters, my beloved, stay blessed, stay powerful, but most of all, stay connected with God. God bless you.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time fee or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.